Tech giants tiptoe into the metaverse. What kind of ad blockers will Firefox and Chrome allow? What is new in the latest Windows 11 build and browsers that implement machine learning? All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to The Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for up-to-date scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is a very hot episode 94. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Thanks for tuning in with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. And we post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. I say it's a hot show because we're up to 110 degrees out here. We're in the middle of summer. We're praying for monsoons. Don't know about the rest of the world, but here in Arizona, we are suffering. We would love to hear from you during the show, so give us a call with your computer, internet, and cybersecurity comments and questions on our open studio line, 520-790-2040. Co-hosting today is Katia from the Cassie Unscrewed Theater.
Yeah, also praying for monsoons. I keep getting the extreme heat warnings on all of my electronic devices, and
yes,
it's very upsetting.
The nice thing about my car, the air conditioning vents have those little vent things removed, so I can just put my phone right inside of the air conditioned pocket, and it makes it ice cold. It keeps it nice and cold in there, so I never get that heat warning. But yeah, so we are we're burning up here, but great having you in the studio with us today. We would like to show some love to the expert technicians at Perfection Auto Works. Now, since it is getting really hot out there, gas prices are at an all-time high, it might be a good idea to go over to Mike Emery for a checkup on your AC and performance parts to make sure you have a cool summer, as well as minimizing breakdowns during the heat. Take advantage of their 22-point inspection, again, at Perfection Auto Works and their mighty good AC service. For an appointment, call 520-323-8650. Again, 520-323-8650. We have a great show for you today, and some of the tech news that's coming up this week. You know, a lot of people hate seeing ads when they're on the internet. I don't know about you, but I don't like seeing ads. I can bear them. I can mentally block them out if I'm doing a search. I just, by happenstance, I just go scroll down from the first fold of the screen, and I go down to the organic search results. I don't usually look at the ads or the sponsored ads. Mm-hmm. We know what those are, right?
Yeah, but I really hate the ones that'll like pop up and follow you as you're scrolling, though. Like they know that you want to escape them, but they will not let you.
Now, if you have a pop-up or something that doesn't scroll away, you might have something called adware. So it's something that even like in a paragraph of writing, you'll see like highlighted words. And if you hover over those words, an ad will pop up. So that's called adware. So that can be removed. There's different things that you have to do. If you have a question about that, you could always give me a call. But ad blockers overall, there are these extensions that you can put onto your browser that are supposed to block ads. Some of them work. Some of them don't work. And usually the ones that do work, they only work for a certain amount of time. It could be somewhere in the ballpark of maybe 6 months to a year. And then they stop working and the ads just start coming back up. So what Firefox and Chrome they're kind of butting heads because Chrome makes profit. They're owned by Google, and Google makes money, right? Firefox, which is made by Mozilla, they are a nonprofit organization, so they're not in the business of necessarily making money. So they don't really have a problem with allowing ad blockers to be on their platform to block ads. But Chrome has a problem with that because that's where they make their money. So they do this. There is a service running inside of these back, and we were talking about this before the show. It's called Web Request, which is a service that allows a browser to block ads. And apparently Firefox is okay with getting rid of or allowing that service to function, but Chrome doesn't for those reasons. And since it's a matter of money, mm-hmm. okay, that's the reason why. So if there's anybody listening that actually does want to reduce the number of ads that they see, or maybe even completely reduce or take away all the ads that are on their browsing experience, I would recommend that you switch to Firefox and try different ad blockers on that site. There's not a specific ad blocker that I recommend, only because they only work for a certain amount of time. It's kind of like a catch-22. You have to try some out, figure out which ones that work, and then stick with that one for a period of time. But keep in mind, you're going to have to switch it at some point. The reason why is because the advertisers, they always find a way around mm-hmm. the block. And it takes them a few months, maybe up to a year to figure it out. But once they do, now it's time to either upgrade the blocker that you have or switch to another blocker in order to keep that service going. Okay. On the topic of browser, there is one browser that is set to implement, get this, machine learning into your browsing experience. And guess which browser that is?
I mean, that sounds like a Google thing.
Yes, it is.
So I'm going to guess Chrome.
Very good guess. It is Chrome. So Chrome claims that it's an interesting approach to delivering a more positive experience online. So basically, machine learning is basically a self-adapting algorithm that's digital, electronic, and it can imitate real humans doing things so often. So it's very observant. It observes and calculates human actions so well that it's able to predict what a human would do, or more specifically, what you would do. Not what Aaron would do, or what the general public would do, but more like what Katya would do.
Okay.
Or what Tom would do, you know? Mm-hmm. So some of these things, you know, obviously get people very, very concerned about how well are our electronics one step ahead of us of just about anything that we're doing? And is that information shared with anyone? So Google claims that these features and functions are made within the device itself. They're not shared online. They're not sent anywhere. That's what they're claiming. Some of these features will include some of the machine learning advantages, I should say, are going to be deceptive site warnings. And sometimes if you're going to a site that is either deceptive or it's not the real thing or it's trying to trick you, you'll get this big red screen that says, hey, you're going to a dangerous site or you're going to a deceptive site. And what the latest Chrome browser is going to be doing is going to be catching 2.5 times more of those bad sites than others. So that's a good thing. We don't want to go to deceptive sites. But it also, those permission prompts. So you may go to a website where it'll ask you for your location information, or if you want to receive notifications from this website. Most of the time I block it, but let's say that I'm shopping around for something local. In order for me to go to some of these websites, they have to know where I am in order to check local availability. So I have to hit click allow for them to know that I'm in Tucson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these new machine learning technologies is they're going to remember what you have clicked in the past, and they're going to accurately predict and enforce your previous interactions. And they're going to assume that you're going to allow this moving forward. So that's, you know, I don't know how people are going to feel about that, but it's supposed to, again, enhance your online experience. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I can see where it would be quicker, but yeah, like you were saying, I only have very specific times when I'm going to actually let a website know where I am. Okay. So it would be weird to just have Chrome get to make that decision for me because I made that decision a couple of times.
That's where these things are going. So one more news report here. Tech giants are starting to tiptoe into the metaverse. So we started talking about the metaverse when it first happened. So it was Mark Zuckerberg that made that 77-minute video that's on YouTube now where he introduced the world to the metaverse. So what does the average person think of the metaverse, or what do you think it is?
I mean, it's like a basically an online space where you can interact using like VR and stuff like that.
VR, virtual reality. So that means that you have to have the goggles. You have to have some sort of way to enter into a application that allows the virtual reality experience. So, and the goggles, the headsets, those are computers themselves. Mm-hmm. Usually they're not hooked into another computer per se, but they are a computer themselves and they have the viewer inside. You can pick these up for about $300 or $400. My wife and I, we got our Oculus 2s, which is the name of the device. It's able to go into the Meta universe, the metaverse powered by Facebook. And we're able to do all kinds of things in a virtual world. Now, what's interesting now is tech giants such as Microsoft, Google, and Apple, they are trying to get some of this market share now too. Mm-hmm. And they're tiptoeing around. They're not saying how interested they are in it. They're just kind of dabbling just a little bit every so often. But you know what's going to happen, right? They want this type of technology in their own ecosystem, and you're going to have Apple viewers, you're going to have the Samsung viewers, you're going to have the Google viewers, you're going to have the Apple viewers, the Microsoft viewers. So they're all going to be going in competition with Facebook. Now, how does Facebook feel about this? Do you think they like it? Do they not like it? Are they fighting it? No, because the metaverse doesn't really belong to Facebook. The metaverse belongs to everybody. It's a space that is open, but it's only being occupied by Meta right now. Mm-hmm. So these other vendors are going to be coming into that space. So that's something that we can look forward to in the future. So if it is your desire to be in the metaverse, you might want to go out and get your virtual reality headsets out there. I have the Oculus 2, but be on the lookout for others to be being released. And usually they're going to start being released around now. Then the holiday seasons, they're going to be like really, really hot items. Mm-hmm. But we're going to take our midway commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Up next, science and tech history from this week and what's new in the latest Windows 11 build. This is the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome to another edition of This Was Your Car. Our first contestant is Ann Stripgear. Ann, remember the sound?
Yes, that sound. Make it stop. I can't stand it.
Well, this is what Perfection Auto Works has done for you.
That's my car? I can't believe it.
Now we have Betsy Beamer. We understand you gave up driving because your exhaust sounded like this.
Oh. Yes.
Not to worry, Perfection Auto Works has transformed your car to sound like this.
I love Perfection Auto Works.
And now we have Peter Fickenberger. Peter, listen to this sound.
Stop it, man. I hate that sound. Stop it.
Look what Perfection Auto Works has done to your car.
I love Perfection Auto Works, man.
You can be the next contestant on This Was Your Car by calling 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with Katya, co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Before we get into the next segment, Katya, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Well, we are having, as usual, there are shows on at 7:30 on Friday and Saturday. This Saturday tonight, there will be a 7:30 show and then a 9 o'clock uncensored show if you want to have a little more adult fun. And then next weekend, as I was telling you, we are going to be having our Comic Chaos show again. That will be at 6 on Saturday.
And you are a character in the Chaos, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Come check it out. It's an original story every time, but we always have a good time.
UnscrewedTheater.org. You can get more information about that. Okay, here are some announcements. And we just have one now. So before I make this announcement, I'm going to ask you true or false. The average home apparently has 4 broken or unused electronic devices sitting around because they can't figure out how to dispose of them or just don't bother. True or false?
I do feel like I have an advantage here because you told me the answer. It is sadly true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you already told me how many devices you have just sitting around doing nothing in your house, but they're not broken. They're
backups.
They're backups, and maybe you've just grown out of them. I think a lot of people that it's not that the technology fails. It's just that so much better stuff has come out that you just slide those other things off to the side, and then they go into this. You basically retire them, basically. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're no longer valuable or that they're not working. They just don't get used. So many phones, I don't know how many phones that you've gone through in your lifetime. I know my wife and I, we get new phones maybe about every 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And if you do the math of how many years that you were in your smartphone life, I think I saw that if somebody lives to like 100 years old that was born in like, past a couple of decades, they may have to go through about 29 phones if they're replacing it every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
About that,
I believe it.
So how do you recycle your phone? Well, you could always do the trade-in. So anytime you're at the dealer where you're getting your phone, they always give you some credit for your old phone. You could always trade it in there. Or you could always resell it to somebody or give it to someone that you know is going to use it. Those are fine ways for recycling. Or you can actually bring it into what's called an electronics recycler. There's actually several here in town. I don't want to give their names because they're not sponsoring the show. But you can just go onto Google and or Facebook or Firefox or whatever browser or thing that you use, Google electronics recycler and Tucson, and you can find some. And those are fine places to recycle your electronics. You can also bring it into the Computer Doctor of Tucson, which you can, and you get to meet me when you recycle. So
bonus.
That is a bonus. So hope you get a chance to make good use of those recycling advantages right there. Okay, it's time for our science and tech anniversary segment. And Katya, you have the list.
Yeah, all of these are kind of really cool. So the first one is June 10th, 1752, which was 270 years ago. Benjamin Franklin did his little kite flight with the key to prove that lightning was actually electricity. And then June 13th, 1790, which was 232 years ago, the English inventor Thomas Saint got a patent for the very first sewing machine design. Mm-hmm. It took 14 years for it to become widely available, and it has been keeping us in stitches for 232 years.
Stitches.
Yeah, very cute.
Now, going back to Benjamin Franklin for just a second, I always thought, when I was a kid, I always thought that when he flew the kite, that the key got zapped by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually didn't. He actually just flew it in an electric storm. Now, obviously, depending on the type of string or the twine that he was using, electricity doesn't flow through string,
mm-hmm.
okay? Only like metals and other conductive materials. But the key was in the midst of an electric. And when when he was able to bring the kite down, he noticed that the key had a charge. And when he touched it, he got shocked.
Okay.
That is when he was able to discover that lightning storms consist of electricity. He didn't discover it, but he knew he didn't discover electricity, but he knew that lightning was possible because of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually found a way to even store the electricity later on, where he actually built the first, get this, capacitor. Not a battery, but a capacitor. And he used some very, very interesting materials with that. So we'll probably get into that maybe another time, where we're looking at some of our history of electricity. One more you have for us.
Yeah, and then June 14th, 1951, which was just 71 years ago, the first commercial computer in the United States was unveiled at the U.S. Census Bureau. It was called UNIVAC, which stood for Universal Automatic Computer. The car-sized computer had thousands of vacuum tubes for computation.
Right.
And they also, they used the punch cards, right? Or was that later?
Punch cards were actually used all the way up until like the 70s, actually. And I don't know when punch cards actually started, but obviously the way a computer works, there has to be an input of some sort along with an output, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you go on your computer and you do a search for Computer Doctor Show, that is your input. And then you're returning an output. And we say, okay, Computer Doctor Show, Aaron Moss, and then you get KVOI and all the information about me. That is the output. So when they're making these computations and they're running all of this information through a computer, you have to have some sort of input. Sometimes it would be through a card, sometimes a keyboard, sometimes buttons, and sometimes it would be the same program being written over and over again or run over and over again. So the size of these computers was about the size of a car. It would probably, maybe one of them would fit in this studio right here.
Yeah, they used to have whole rooms that were just dedicated to the computer.
Yes, they called the computer room, one computer. And it was actually pretty cool because if they're running on vacuum tubes and the computer starts to malfunction, all you have to do is open up the panel where all the tubes are and see which one isn't lighting. Or you could even tap them with your finger and figure out which one is not hot.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's not hot, that's the one that's not working. You take that out, replace it, and now you fix the problem. How about that? With the time that we have left, this one last thing. What is new in the latest Windows 11, which is the build 25136? Windows 11 build 25136. So we live in the world where we're not doing Windows 7, Windows 10, Windows 11 anymore. Now we have these little sub-builds. So this is actually build 25136. And one of the main things is that the File Explorer tabs and the navigations are having their updates. So you know how when you go on a internet browser, how you have the tabs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can have that in the File Explorer. You can have open up different tabs.
Oh.
So you're at different locations. And also the OneDrive will display the user's name. Probably multiple drives could be installed, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Before we wrap up, I just want to thank our sponsor again, Perfection Auto Works, for sponsoring our show. Stop by their location on Speedway in Craycroft for your free 26-point inspection. As always, don't click unverified links in emails or text messages. Use a password manager. Enable two-factor authentication. Verify all incoming and outgoing calls. Back up your system to the cloud. And listen to the Computer Doctor Show live on Saturdays and posted as podcast on Tuesdays. If you missed any part of this episode, go to computerdoctorshow.com, click episodes, and find episode 94. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Katia co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.